Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. And let me just say, if you're not a person that loves Band and Dunes, first, I don't know if I want to be pals with you. And second, probably not the podcast for you, because this is a lengthy chat with my good friend Joel Klatt about our trip to Bannon. We talked a lot about the new Sheep Ranch golf course, what we loved about it. We dove into some reader questions as well. It's a meaty episode, but I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you have plans or hopes of getting to Bannon Dunes at some point. Hopefully, these questions will be answered. Before you listen, after you listen, whenever, if you go to my website, ShaneBaconGolf.com, I posted a blog earlier this year, kind of on everything you need to know about Bannon Dunes. I will be updating this for Friday. So after you listen to this, I will have this updated Friday morning with Sheep Ranch information as well. Some of that I talk about on the podcast, but I'll try to get everything in there you might need for that and just to put it in there with all the other stuff I posted earlier in the year. And I got to some reader questions with Klatt, but I had a few that I didn't need Joel on. These were questions that are a little bit more logistical. And so I just wanted to knock those out right now quickly before we get to the full-length conversation about our Bannon trip and some pointers and some tips there. What I did was, all of these questions, I reached out to my buddy Michael Chepka at Bannon Dunes, who's worked there for a number of years. And just so people know, I believe, hopefully this is still right, I think he's the only non-caddy to ever win the Bannon Cup. So if you're ever on property and you see Chepka and he asks to play, I would just give you a quick suggestion: play for minimal amounts of money, because he's really, really good at golf. But here's some questions that I got that are just more logistical, and I'll run through them really quick so we can get to Klatt. Somebody asked, I don't have any names, sorry, how difficult is it to design the exact itinerary you want? How far in advance would you need to start booking? Chepka said it depends upon the group size. If you're coming with 12 people, plan to book a year out, a full year out. But if it's a smaller group with a little flexibility, I would do it probably the same year. So, you know, let's say you're going to go in August, maybe get on it February, March, and you should be good. But if you've got a big, big group, at least a year out to make sure you can get all the golf courses you want. Next question, what's the best non-peak time to go? I thought this is a great question. Got it from a few different people. Chepka says he's always, and he's lived out there for a number of years, said, I've always enjoyed April to May. The rates are still a little less than the summer season. The weather becomes more predictable, and the courses are always in great shape at that time. I've been in April or May. Couldn't agree with them more. You're rolling the die in the off season in terms of what you're going to get, but I've been out there in November and had one day of rain and everything else was fine. So it's really just, you know, what's Mother Nature going to throw at you, and you just have to deal with it and make sure you have good rain gear. Don't bring an umbrella either. I don't mention that in the podcast, but it's a waste. No caddy's going to carry it. It's going to unfold upwards and be done 12 minutes into you being on the golf course. And last thing, last question was caddy options. 12 guys going in August. Some are more on a budget. Two are only playing 18 per day. Others are playing 36. How flexible are the caddies on their scheduling? And basically, Chepka said, give as much information as you have to the caddy department when you start to book them, and they'll tailor the right caddy for that particular request, and they'll do their best to do that. There's some older caddies that only want to go one loop a day, and there's some young guys, some guys that I've had that if you need help on getting a caddy, just reach out to me on social, and I'll point you in their direction because they're so fantastic. They'll want to go 36, maybe double looping. So just don't be shy on information to the caddy department, and they will help you out. I've done this before. I've reached out to the department and just told them the type of guys I'm bringing, the type of golfers I'm bringing, and they nail it. It's actually kind of crazy. It's like almost like a dating service in terms of personality, handicap, what they want, what they don't want, and then they'll find a caddy. They've got such great caddies in that caddy yard there. So, and last one, a lot of people asked about how much to pay the caddies. It's $100 plus gratuity. I would say, you know, you want to start at 120 and go up. I mean, I would say 120, you know, $20 as a tip is your base number. And then depending on if they were good, if they were great, if they were excellent, just keep moving up from there. But that would be a fair number. And that is per round and per bag. So 100 is the baseline. And then I would say a 20% tip there is fair. Okay. Those are logistic questions. Let's get to Klatt. And we welcome back into the clubhouse, Joel Klatt. Joel called me, was it yesterday when you called me and said that you You miss Bandon more than you feel like you should. We were just there like 5 days ago. Was that yesterday you called?
That was yesterday, and I, you know, father to father, I think it's okay to say that. It's okay to admit that at times, because Bandon is that special of a place.
So, I've been lucky enough to go to Bandon a few times. Obviously, being in the golf media, I've been invited on trips there, and I've got a chance to go there. I went there for my bachelor party. You had only been, and for people that don't know, Joel Klatt, of course, lead analyst for college football for Fox. You can follow him on social media because he loves social media so much. Are you at Joel Klatt? Is that what you are?
Yes, I'm at Joel Klatt. You can follow me there.
Big social media fan, loves everything about it. Make sure to send him messages. He just loves everything, always on it. And Joel's a golf freak. I mean, he's been a part of the Fox golf coverage for a long time. And his handicap continues to go lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And I keep getting texts of these numbers that he's shooting, that a lot of the numbers start with a 6, which is pretty impressive stuff. And Klatt, you've been to Bandon a couple times for things, but you'd never had a chance to really experience Bandon on what we would consider a guys or a golfer trip to Bandon Dunes. This was kind of the first time.
Yeah, every time I had been, I had gone up to this amazing event, and it's Joey Harrington does this charity golf tournament up there, and he raises money for his foundation, and I would go up and be a part of it because he takes two former players from every Pac-12 school and pairs us up with leaders in the community. We do this whole thing, and it's very fun, but it's not the traditional Bandon trip. You know, it's only one round a day, and there's an event at night, and so on and so forth. So I had never really gone and experienced the hey, let's play 1,000 holes, in 2 days or something like that. And I was so excited to do that. And we were able to do it. And just to play every course on one trip up there, that was, to me, like the most fun, because I was able to really compare them. And I didn't have to say, well, last year I played, you know, Pacific. Right. And now I get to play trails and let me try to compare them. And it's just like day to day, got to compare them and really figure out which ones I liked and which ones, candidly, I didn't love.
Well, it was you, it was me, it was my good buddy Andrew and my good buddy Brady, who lives up in Omaha. Andrew lives here in Arizona with me, and they've both been a couple times as well. Our itinerary was fairly packed. I'll just run people through it. We got in Sunday, played a 5 p.m. Is that about right? Around
That's
at
right.
Bandon Dunes?
It was like 4:40 p.m. that we got out.
Yeah, we arrived at the Eugene Airport, didn't have any rental cars. They had no rentals.
Weird.
This is traveling during COVID. And we just kind of sat there until they brought one over. Luckily, they had one big enough to store 4 people's bags and golf clubs. I was a little nervous that they were going to come out with a Camry. And lucky for us, they had a big SUV. But we played Bandon basically until 8 or 9 p.m. It was lovely. And I mean, it was a lovely day, and you can't finish on a better final 3 stretch of holes, I don't think, than Bandon Dunes. Next morning, bright and early, we woke up. Was that the Pacific Sheep Ranch day? Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, we did Pacific in the morning. Then we got a chance to play Sheep Ranch, which we'll dive into. And then we did the Sheep Ranch afternoon, dive right back into Sheep Ranch in the morning. We added a preserve round that afternoon because we hadn't played enough golf, obviously. Had a preserve round after the Sheep Ranch that next morning, and then rolled that into another round in the afternoon at Bandon Dunes. And then the last day to check all the golf courses, we did Old Mac in the morning, and our trip ended on Bandon Trails. And so, yeah, it was a lot of golf. I mean, it was a ton of golf kind of packed in 3 or 4 days. That's what the Bandon experience is, really. It's like you said, you wake up and you play and you go to bed basically in your golf shoes.
Yeah, and what I loved about it as well is we were able to, and I think this will be good for people to hear, we got every element. You know, we played a little in the rain. We played a little in the wind. We played when it was like dead calm, which is probably the rarest of them all. So, you know, we got to experience kind of the full gamut of being abandoned, playing in the elements, walking, and having a great time. And we played every single hole on the entire property, and some of them twice. So, it was as fun of a trip as I can ever remember having. And I got to tell you, like, for those that love golf, I think that I'm probably jumping way ahead here of what you want to talk about, but there at times is no more fun than can be had than just going out with buddies to the preserve and just playing the par 3. I mean, that was as fun as I've had in a long time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I always say it, you know, I get a lot. We'll get to some questions. We have some listener questions a little bit later, and we'll get to some, and we'll touch on this a little bit more when we get there. But, you know, I mean, I've played some really awesome par three golf courses. I still don't. I haven't found one that's even close to Bannon Preserve. It's just unbelievable. You were on the second tee, which, you know, it's all par threes, 13 holes. You're on the second tee at Bandit Preserve, and you looked at me and you went, wouldn't this be the best par three on any golf course here if it wasn't on a big course? And you're like, yes, that's what this place is some of these holes are just, you can't believe that it's a part of a par three course, not to take anything away from, you know, a short golf course.
Here's what I thought after playing the Preserve a couple of times. If you go through it, I think that there are 8 or 9 of the par of the 13 holes that would be the best par three on the course of all the courses. And that's even including, you know, listen, I know 11 on Pacific is like an amazing hole. And what is it? 12 on Bandon is an amazing hole, and so on and so forth, right? Like there's some great par threes. There's 8 par threes on the Preserve that are incredible holes, like incredible golf holes. And you stand there on the tee and you're like, you know, for a 110 yard hole, this is about as good as you can possibly get.
And you can hit 4 different shots to it. That's what I always find so cool is you have 5 clubs in your bag and you could hit, as you said, on maybe on number 3 on the Preserve, you know, which could play 60 to probably 75, 80 yards. You could really hit basically up to a pitching wedge, depending on the wind and depending on how hard you want to swing. That's one thing I love about those mixed in Preserve rounds is I feel like it allows you and your golf game to relax. I mean, you and I are both competitive. You and I both get up, we get down on the golf course. I feel like it's hard to get out of that middling area when you're on Preserve because you're having so much fun.
I don't know what you're talking about. I only punted my driver one time on the trip.
18T, Bandon Dunes, that afternoon. You know what? Yeah. I got to say, I know you're a quarterback. I know you're a former quarterback because it wasn't the best kick I've ever seen. I've seen much deeper driver kicks, that's for sure. Clad, I want to get into, because I know people listening are going to want to hear about Sheep Ranch. So I want to dive into, if you will, Sheep Ranch. I mean, my bachelor party was in, I want to say 2016. We went in November, and that was my first time experiencing the old Sheep Ranch. That's when you would basically, you got a phone number from somebody that knew somebody. You called it, you reserved the golf course, basically, and it was, I think it was like $100 a guy or $125 a guy. You wrote one check, handed it to the guy that unlocked the gate, and then they let you in, and it was your golf course for the day. I've had a chance to kind of see Sheep Ranch over the last 3, 4, 5 years move from that to what it is now, and it was really fun to get a chance to play it twice, and we got a chance to play it in the afternoon and in the morning. I would say first things first, the first hole is not just the best first hole on property, but I'm telling you, Clat, you and I talked about it plenty of times during the trip. It's one of the better first holes I've played in my lifetime, and I mean, that's a pretty big compliment.
I don't think that there's any question about that. If you just put it anywhere in America, same exact hole, it's a phenomenal golf hole, right? It's very, I would say, I don't know, traditional core Crenshaw. Maybe it's just the core Crenshaw that I've played, but it's like when they build a course, they love to give you that, like, really, it's not a soft par five. It can be demanding, but it's just a really nice par five, right? And it's a great shape. But then you take into consideration now where you're at on the clubhouse at Sheep Ranch is kind of up on top of the property, and you can see the ocean, but it's like across the entire course. And then when you get on the first tee, you actually don't see the ocean. You know, there's some trees left, and then there's like off property right, and it's beautiful, like tall grasses and native grasses on each side. And you can just tell, like, hey, this is a really big sweeping right to left par five. And once I reach that ridge, which is the horizon, you know, I know it's going to go down. And then the caddy's like, yeah, it's going to go down to the left. And you're like, oh, okay, great. And you hit your tee shot. And let's face it, it's somewhat of a nondescript first tee ball.
Right.
But then you start walking, right? And listen, when you're with a caddy in any course and you're walking, like walking off of the first tee with a caddy is just like, It's exciting, right?
Absolutely.
You don't have your bag. You're walking. It's so great. And you start walking. And then, Shane, you get about 100 yards off the tee box and the horizon, like the hole starts to reveal itself. And really even like the rest of the course starts to reveal itself over the horizon. And then the ocean reveals itself. And it's like, oh my gosh. And there's that moment, like it's probably about 100 yards before you hit your ball, you know, and you get to your actual ball. And you just walk in it. I just kept thinking to myself of like the sunbeams shining down. And it's like the, oh, and it just like is this huge reveal. That might be my favorite walk in golf that I've ever taken so far. I thought it was an incredible, and it gets lost because we had that entire trip, right? When we talk about, oh, favorite hole, favorite this, that. If I think back, just opening holes in golf, that walk, first tee to your tee ball, number one, a sheep ranch, is as good of a walk as there is in golf.
Well, what's interesting about Bandon as a whole, when you really look at the golf courses, when you go through, I'm going to call them the original four, when you go through the original four big courses, all the first holes are pretty whatever. I mean, they're not blowing you away. I mean, first at Bandon is, you know, if you hit your driver 250 plus, you're hitting less than driver, my favorite term in golf, less than driver off that tee because you don't want to get it in those bunkers. You know, Pacific's a tough first hole, but it's not overly long. I mean, you still can hit an iron on that tee. You know, Trails first hole.
I hate first hole at Pacific.
You're not. We will get to Pacific. We will get to Pacific, and you can lay out all of your points there. But you know, I mean, again, it's not an overly tough hole. Maybe the easiest first hole on property is Old Mac, and then Trails, which I want to touch on how you played the first hole at Bandon Trails, which is a little bit different than how most will. It's mostly iron off the tee, you know, 9-iron wedge into the green, and then you're off. So this, what's cool about the Sheep Ranch opening hole is I feel like it's so different than the other four on property. The other four are all par fours. I would bet you they're all probably right around 400 yards, and you get this opening par five where you can make a birdie, and like you said, you get this walk up and then this reveal after, and then you kind of see the whole golf course as you're walking up to the green.
Yeah, and you know, I thought it was, and then it's on the far right side of the property, and so you walk up and there's this amazing like house over, and you start to notice yourself. I think every golfer that goes to play there is going to walk up and be like, you know, I wish I could buy that place. Because the house is right on the cliff.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Okay, so I just want to get your thoughts on Sheep Ranch. Just, you know, 1 through 18, experience of the golf course. Did it remind you of any place you played? What'd you love about it? I just wanted to kind of have you walk us through, considering we got to play it twice, what you thought of the golf course.
Yeah, okay. So first off, I had no prior knowledge. I had never been to Sheep Ranch out there. So I didn't know what you had a prior experience there when it was the old Sheep Ranch. I didn't. So I was just excited to go out and play. And then the other thing, and I hate prefaces, but I'm going to preface everything that I say. I love Cor Crenshaw, right? Like I just am a huge fan of the minimalist design, minimal dirt moving, allow the holes to kind of reveal themselves, how the natural flow of the land goes. I feel like they give you opportunities to make birdies. They give you really difficult par fours. I think that's a staple, you know, usually one on the front, one on the back, you're going to get a really difficult par four into the prevailing wind, whatever direction that is. So like, I'm just a big fan of Cor Crenshaw. So I immediately just like, bam, I walked that first hole and I'm like, I love this. I love the course. I think I even said it to you on the second tee box. I was like, this is one of my favorites. Like, I love it. And I played one hole. And as the round kind of unfolded, that never really changed. You know, I loved the mixture of difficult par threes, short par threes. They had the kind of the double green that has become so in vogue in golf that, you know, that is also on the preserve. I love the minimalism of them allowing the fairways to move with the natural flow of the ground. I love how it goes back into the trees. You know, I thought that the greens were generous and yet difficult, partly because they're brand new. So they were a little slow, but that's just conditions wise. The actual course, I absolutely loved it. I loved almost every hole. And then the last aspect I would touch on, Shane, is that I loved the fact that you kept touching the ocean.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that was one of their main goals. I mean, it's been well chronicled. You talked about it. Like Michael Kaiser said, hey, I want to utilize the ocean more on the sheep ranch than I have on the other courses. And they did that. You touch it on one green, then you go back and you play two, and then you kind of go back on three green, and you're touching the ocean again, and then you go back on four, and then you just constantly come back. And whether it's the front nine or the back nine, there's not just here's the stretch on the ocean and then here's the rest of the course. It's constantly kind of going back and touching on it. You finish on it, then you know the 18's back to the clubhouse. So I loved that aspect because I thought that the ocean on that part of the property is the most beautiful because of those rocks out
right
in the water.
Yeah.
And so keep it, you know, coming back to that all the time made the round just incredibly special.
So it's something that, you know, one thing I see, and I actually yell at people about this because I think at times the ocean and the idea of the ocean at golf facilities like Bandon almost gets overplayed a little bit. But when you play sheep ranch, and you mentioned it, you know, Mr. Kaiser saying that like the fourth hole at Pacific, and I mentioned this on Get a Grip this week, but the fourth hole at Pacific is one of the better par fours you'll ever play in your entire life, but it runs along the ocean. So when you get off of four, you really don't get back to the ocean until 10 green, you know, 11 tee. I mean, that's a pretty long wait, right? For people that love the ocean pictures and that want to take videos and want to put everything on Instagram, you know, you kind of go back into the land and you don't get back to the ocean till 11, and then you get on 13. And then after 13 at Pacific, and we're talking about, you know, one of the best public golf courses on the planet, after 13, you're kind of done with it, right? I mean, that's kind of the end of your ocean experience. What's cool about sheep is, like you said, you leave the ocean for a hole or two, and you're right back there. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. One thing that was different in the routing that I noticed that I thought was going to be the case, and I wasn't nervous about it, but I just didn't know how it was going to work. I was under the impression that it was going to be a little bit like an in-and-out golf course where it was a green here and the tee was next to it and it went out and it came back and it went out and it came back. And that is absolutely not the case. It mixes around and it moves around. I mean, 11 is a par five that's not on the ocean at all. And it was one of our favorite holes we played on the entire trip. So there are some unbelievable, quote unquote, inland holes. I mean, you're inland 150 yards from the ocean, but there are some great inland holes on Sheep Ranch mixed with all of those greens and all those tees on the ocean. And what's cool is, you know, the pictures you take on Bandon, you know, when you play 16, or on four at Pacific, or on Olmec when you play six, or, you know, 15, all of those pictures you take because they're right on the ocean, you get what, six of those, seven of those? You get a drive going both ways. It's crazy.
Yeah. Two other aspects that I absolutely loved about Sheep Ranch, and you're really good about remembering the actual specific hole. I want to say it was six, but you know, you would have to correct me on this. The hole that you hit directly over the cliff.
Yep, six.
Okay, so you don't get that anywhere else. Like you don't get that on Pacific, right? Pacific or any of the other ones, you know, you're hitting along the ocean, but you don't get, like, you tee off, and because of the curve of the hole, you're flat hitting it right over the cliff, you know, and it's even way different than 16 at Bandon.
Right.
And I loved it, right? Like it was the most memorable tee shot, not of my execution, but just of the scenery. I loved that. And then the last thing I would say is because of the nature of the routing and going back to the ocean and doing, you know, kind of all of that, when the wind did pick up, and it's, you know, and it's, as you guys know, it doesn't swirl at Bandon generally. It's just like, it's coming from one direction and it's coming. Well, I mean, that's just how it is. The holes, you don't get that like browbeat for four straight holes dead into the fan.
Right.
Like you're constantly, it's like, okay, one into the fan. Now you're back and you're cross or you're down and you're kind of back and forth. So the wind at sheep doesn't, it's not that it's weaker, it just doesn't feel like as big of a browbeat as some of the other courses, because it's not, you know, you're not hitting Like, for instance, we played about 30 miles an hour on trails, dead into the wind for the last four holes. And it was just like,
I was about to bring this up. I'm glad you brought it up. That was exactly what popped in my head. I was like, the last four holes walking into that wind at trails, you're just thinking, I mean, if I bogey in, I'm playing great, you know?
I'm playing great. If I don't lose a golf ball, I'm playing phenomenal golf, right? Like, that's all I have to say. And at Sheep, I never felt like that, right? Like, It because of the routing is just so much different. At most, for two holes, you'll go one direction at most, and then you'll kind of flip and go a different direction. So I really like that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, a couple of things on Sheep before we move on. One is it has its own driving range. We didn't know this before our round, so we didn't get to warm up. would have been lovely to know that. So if you're going anytime soon, it's a beautiful driving range just to the north. So just to the right of the first hole. And you can walk. You can leave your bag on the first tee, walk over there with three clubs and warm up a little bit if you'd like. Again, didn't get a chance to do that, so we can blame all our first swings on that. The clubhouse is there already. I mean, it's wonderful. And it's got a little restaurant there that has breakfast and all that if you want to snag something early, if you've got an early tee time. I would say, Klatt, I think you and I agreed on this, that Sheep Ranch is the easiest golf course in terms of playability and scoring on property. I will only say to that, we got it in fairly benign winds. And I know that locals say that it blows a little harder north than it does south. So Sheep's going to get more wind than you're going to get on Pacific or Bandon. I know they're not far off, but Old Mac normally is more windy there than you're going to get at Pacific. So when it blows, you're going to be very happy that the golf course is a little bit easier because, I mean, we even got it on, so I believe it's 12. 11's at par 5. 12's a long par 4. And another cool little Core Crenshaw routing thing, 12 is a long par 4 and 13 goes the complete opposite direction and it's a par 5. They're very similar distances, maybe 25, 30 yards longer for the par 5. But if it's into you one way, it's going to be down the next. And so I know my friend Andy Johnson always loves to say, you know, par is irrelevant. It's really irrelevant on that stretch because you can go 5-4, 4-5. I mean, no win. You might could go 3-3 if you do something crazy. And that is, I think, touching on a little of what you're talking about, that you get a lot of chances to make up shots next hole, next hole, next hole, next tee, because it changes so much.
Well, let's just put it this way. On the par 4, 12th, I went driver into the fairway, 2-iron, sand wedge. Had to make
par.
A par.
Yeah, you made par.
Made par. Flipped around, driver, 5-iron just off the green. To the par 5, you know, so it's like, it's just, but that's, I mean, that's what makes the golf so fun. That's what makes it so special. Last thing on Sheep, and I know, and then we'll move on. I thought it was the best shop.
Great shop.
I thought it was a great shop. Not that there was a ton of stuff. It just had all the brands that I love, right? Like it had the Grayson shirts. It had the good, Peter Millar pullovers. Like it had, the hats that I really like. So like for me, the brands that I like to buy, the Peter Millar Tour Fit shirts, you know, like they were all there, and some of the other shops didn't have those brands. So I thought it was the best shop.
I was going to ask you to do your rankings of the courses, because again, this is kind of the first time you've had a chance to really sit down and do a ranking. And of course we're including Sheep. I believe we did these, We finalized these sitting at a pizza place in Eugene, but I'd like to hear your five again.
Yes. My favorite is Bandon Trails. Number two, and so close behind it, is Bandon Dunes. Very close behind that is Sheep Ranch, then Old Mac, then Pacific. And if I could put the Preserve in there, it would be just behind Sheep Ranch.
So we're close. And again, if you've gone to Bandon a couple of times, I know the rankings always change. Trails always going to be number one for me. Bandon Dunes is number two. I've got Sheep at three. If Preserve was in the conversation of this, Preserve would be three for me. I really do think it's one of my favorite golf courses to play in the world, even though it's just a par three. So I go Sheep three, and then I just flip the next two, and we're basically the same. Pacific four and Old Mac five. And I always hate doing this because it seems like you don't like the fifth golf course. That's not the case. I love Old Mac. I fall in love with Old Mac every time I play it. It's just, you know, when you're ranking five things, something's going to be fifth. That's how that works.
Sure. I'm with you. outside of the fact that you say you love Old Mac and it's fifth, Pacific is fifth for me. Don't love it.
I know you don't love it.
But I don't love it.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got a group of guys, you know, you, Andrew, Brady, my buddy Ashton. I've got a few friends of mine, and we all have this Pacific thing, and we get yelled at all the time from it. We've got questions we'll get to. Somebody ask, you know, if you're going to leave a golf course off or two off on a trip, what would you do? There was like four responses that said, you got to play pack twice. And I'm like, man, they're not going to like our answers on this podcast, because that is the complete opposite of what you and I think.
No.
We all know it's an unbelievable golf course. I think it, at times, it's a little more demanding, which is fair. And I feel like there are stretches on pack that you and I would say kind of fall asleep a little bit on. And, you know, that's part of loving and not loving golf courses, you know?
Part of why my rankings are the way they are with Bandon lies in my praise for Core Crenshaw and Sheep Ranch, the minimalist design. I'm just a fan of that, right? Like, I love Oakmont. I love National Golf Links of America. I love, you know, Pebble, Shinnecock. And these are kind of like, people are probably like rolling their eyes. Like, well, of course. Yeah, but
Pine Valley, I love. I'm a big Augusta National fan.
I played Pine Valley. And I never played Pine Valley. But if you can imagine, I love the old golf course because they couldn't move the earth back then. Right. Like, part of, I'm not a Pete Dye fan. And I think that Doak is a little bit like that. So, you know, there's just a lot of things. For instance, if I hit a ball perfectly on the line that is intended by the designer, that should never be penalized, in my estimation. Okay. In particular, artificially, if it just happens to be that way, everyone's like, well, you would hate Scotland golf. I'm like, no, because that course has been there for 200 years, right? Like, then that's just what it is. But if it's artificially humped and bumped, to where you hit a perfect tee ball, line that's intended, club that's intended, and you get up there, and it is the biggest hanging downhill lie that you can't even advance. You know, it's like, what am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to hit the green with this? That's not my favorite type of golf. Some people might say, like, hey, that's golf, suck it up, you suck, which is fine. But that's why I love Core Crenshaw. I love trails. I love Sheep Ranch because I feel like they reward quality golf shots, whereas you can get artificially penalized by Doak at times.
You hit driver on one at Bandon Trails. First of all, we were playing. We had Clatt and I similar handicaps. We had Andrew and Brady were similar handicaps, so it actually worked out pretty well. But what Brady was playing such great golf that he was getting between 7 and 10 shots a round. He shot a legit 74 from the back tees at Old Mac. He would have beat all three of us at best ball if we'd have played him, Clatt. I mean, that's how well he played.
So that was the morning. Brady beats us all best ball. I happened to be his partner that round, which was amazing. But we went back on the scorecard. Change, you shot 72, I shot 73, he shoots 74, and he would have beat the three of us one up.
Best
on the
ball. 18th. Best ball. It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable golf that he played. So that afternoon, you and I, as the lower handicaps, are just like, okay, you know, like, we'll play against you and let's get after it. So then we get on the first tee and it's starting to hum a little bit. It's like 20, 25, and it's dead downwind. And so basically it's like a 7-iron out to the fairway and everybody hits. Shane, you even hit yours just out there in the fairway. And then you looked at me and you're like, hey, you know, you get two off the first.
Yeah. We've
and
been
like,
playing.
Hey, why don't you hit it?
Yeah. We've been playing the whole week. We'd said, you know, I mean, we're here for fun. There's no reason to grind as we always do at Bandon. We talk about going to the driving range. We never do. So nobody's ever warm on the first tee. That is a little tip for Bandon is if you're going to spend time on the driving range, I mean, God love you. I'm not going to do it. I mean, there's only so many golf swings I have in me anymore, and I'm not going to waste them on the range when we're playing 49 holes a day. But we were giving people first tee, and you pull iron out, and I look at you. I went, hell, just hit driver. I mean, you know, I mean, if you hit it in the high stuff, just hit an iron out there, and you've been hitting your driver great. I mean, you hit it pretty straight, hit it right at the green.
So I hit it and it was just left of the green, and everyone looks at each other. They rolled their eyes and they're like, well, we'll see, you know? And so,
yeah, Andrew did not love this mulligan play. He did not like it very much.
No, he didn't. He started throwing a bit of a fit about it because let's face it, he had lost money in every round that we played. So that was a little rough for Andrew. So he was salty. This is the last round of our entire trip. And I drove the green, but it ended up being like just left of the green in kind of a bush. So I had an awkward second shot, but it was up there by the green.
Caddy speak is our favorite thing in the world. We love caddy speak. And when they tell you how far they hit it or how well they played or how good somebody they had before played better than you did as you're careering it on a golf course you've never seen before. But on the first tee, they were mentioning that there was an event there with some collegiate players, and a lot of the guys had hit driver trying to drive the green. And I was just happy to see you pull it off. That's all I got to say. I wish I'd have done it. I was happy to see it. Unfortunately, neither of us made birdie, didn't win the hole, but hey, that's neither here nor there. The walk, I talked this
weird
up.
Brady got a pop and drained a 5-footer for par.
Shocking.
And we lost the hole. Shocking.
So you talk about your favorite walk is kind of coming up that crest on one, a cheap ranch. And it kind of spoke to you personally. My favorite walk that I've ever encountered in this sport, and one of my favorite just walks in anything, is number 9 through 13. What's crazy, Klatt, is you
on trails,
you going to Bannon a couple times. The only time you played trails, you stopped on the eighth hole. So you'd never got a chance to go through this walk I always talk about.
Well, for the event that we do, for Joey's event, we never play the trails course. So I had never played the whole thing. So the last time I was out there, I think we had like a 8:30 tee time or something like that. And I snuck out early and they let me go out as kind of the first guy off on trails just so I could see it. I got 8 holes in and had to shuttle over to my other tee time. So that was the only experience I had, which means that I missed like the best part of the course, which turns out like doing it with, you know, you had constantly told me about it and you're exactly right. That was my, you know, outside of one on Sheep Ranch, you know, that stretch of holes is my favorite stretch of holes on property. It's just an incredible stretch of holes.
So I had Grant Boone on a couple of years ago on the clubhouse, and he was telling a story. And if you want to go back and listen to it, I mean, I can't even imagine what episode it is, but he was telling a story. He got picked for the Augusta lottery. He got picked as a media member to play Augusta the Monday after the Masters. And he had a job interview in Atlanta for a TV gig, and he had to leave. He had to leave after 9 at Augusta National.
No, you can't do that. Like, there will be another job. What is he doing?
So again, I urge you to go listen to it. Maybe I'll link to it after we post this podcast. I'll give you a link to the old episode. But he said he told the guy in Atlanta about what he'd done, and he said the guy was not amused. He was, as you are, annoyed. What are you thinking? He didn't get the job.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to go to a job interview. You're going to have to tell that story, and immediately your judgment skills are going to be like depreciated beyond belief.
Didn't play Amen Corner. What are you thinking? What are you doing?
Yeah, this isn't going to work for me, buddy. You know, good luck with everything else. You definitely didn't get the job.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. So I had a few questions. You know, there are these little sneaky things at Bandon that people love to talk about. There's the box off 10 on Bandon Dunes that used to have whiskeys and drinks in it. And now I think they've moved it now to the 9th fairway. We didn't go over there. I mean, I don't really think that's going to be a thing during COVID. People are going to go over there and take a pull off a whiskey bottle that's just in there from some random people. So walking off 7 of trails, one of our caddies goes, have you guys ever tried to drive the green over by the Grove Cottages? I never even knew it was there. You and I hit 2 shots. One of the caddies said, best 2 he's ever seen. He said, yeah. Yours hit basically the the fringe, if you will. I mean, it's not a manicured green. It's just over in the lake. I hit it on the green, and everybody was rolling their eyes at us, and you and I basically pulled it off.
Yeah, we, you know, everyone's like, oh, okay, I guess we can stop and let Shane and Joel hit. We bet $20. I hit mine absolutely perfectly. And when it didn't actually end up on the green, I thought to myself, well, Shane's certainly not going to hit the green after that perfect shot. Bam, you hit it directly on the green. It was maybe the best shot you hit all day.
I was easily going to say probably shot of the tournament outside of my final putt that we'll talk about, I'm sure, at some point to end the trip, which is the maybe the greatest golf shot I've ever hit in my life. But so we finished the trip on trails. I feel like, now, was it too much golf? Was it a perfect amount of golf? Would you have wanted to play a little
that.
More?
You can't ask me that. You
well, yeah, you're a psycho.
That. There's
you play
no
every
golf
day.
That is enough golf. There's not enough golf that can be enough golf. I was hurting, trust me. Like, physically, I don't think I could have played anymore, but that doesn't mean that was enough golf.
I mean, it's just, I've never met somebody that loves it as much as you. I think you might love golf the most of anybody I know.
That is such a compliment, because you know a lot of people. I was hurting. I was, the last round, I was Advil-ing it up.
You had shin splints going, you know, we
had
a doctor in our group.
Going. Yeah, and like, I've been battling a bad back, and so like that was, I kept trying to stretch that out. But listen, like, I absolutely love it. I think that, yeah, I mean, it was enough golf. Just physically, I don't know if I could have played. And in my last few holes, I was basically done and couldn't put a good swing on it anyways, right into the teeth of the 30-mile-an-hour wind.
Oh.
But we played, I would say, the perfect amount, you know? And I think that the only thing that we didn't do, and it's because we just didn't have time, is we didn't punch bowl it, you know? And we didn't go out there, but I think that the punch bowl, and this is important if you're scheduling a trip out there, the punch bowl is for if you're going to do 4 full days. Like, we were really doing 3 full days.
Right.
And you can do that at our age. You can do that, right? 2 rounds a day for 3 days and throw some preserve in there. You can do it. It's possible. If you're a little older and you're doing 3 days, or if you're trying to do 4 days, that's when you throw in the punch bowl and you play only 18 one day, get some preserve, and then go to the punch bowl for the night. At our age and fitness level, 3 days, we didn't have time. But that, I think that's where the punch bowl is perfect, is to give maybe some older gentlemen a little bit of a break if they're trying to go 3-4 days in a row.
I absolutely. I always feel like I leave Bannon wishing I'd have done, you know, 45 minutes or an hour on the punch bowl. And I do feel like at my current age now, it's the one that gets left off. And I maybe in 14 years when I'm 50, it won't be the one that's left off. All right, Clay, I listen.
Next year.
When I'm 37,
my body
I'm not. Listen. I told my buddy Ashton today on the phone, that was as much golf as I could remember playing at Bandon. And I've gone a decent amount to Bandon Dunes. I can't remember the double preserve squeeze in between the 2 rounds and after 36. I mean, you'd get done with it, go to dinner at 8 p.m., and there was no after dinner hang. I mean, we were all done, all going to bed. There was no sitting around having drinks after, no cigars after. Dinner was done. No. We were all showering and in bed.
Yes. But that's, if you're anything like me, and now you, Shane, and I don't know how much you've shared on the podcast, so let me just for my sake. There are guys that ask me, because they know that I'm, if you don't know, I'm sober and have been for 8 years. At times, guys who are like me or who have never drank will ask, like, hey, you know, like, well, is it still fun to do something like that, even if you don't, like, drink? I say, yes, absolutely. And I think our trip was evidence of that. Now, if you wanted to hang, you can go do that, you know, and I think guys have a wonderful time doing that. But I think we're evidence that that's not a necessity, and you can go up there, enjoy yourself thoroughly. And I just replaced the hang with as many golf holes as I can possibly go out there and play.
Absolutely.
I think people need to hear that too, because there are guys that ask me about that all the time. Like, well, I don't like going on a golf trip because there's some implication of drinking and so on and so forth. if that's the case, fine, if that's what you want to do. And if not, I think that, you know, you've got to be confident enough to know that, especially at a place like Bandon, there's plenty for you to do if that's what your buddies want to do.
Yeah, first trip I've gone to Bandon and didn't drink, I was that guy thinking about it, headed in. I got to be honest with you. I mean, typically when I go, it's the bag of beers and loser of the hole carries it to the next hole. And that's how that goes. First things first is Oregon doesn't allow plastic bags anymore. So even if you wanted to have the beer carrying thing, Andrew had a bag of beers on the back nine at Bandon. It was a paper bag. Let me just tell you, a lot of ice and cold beer and a paper bag. Not great. Not great when you get to about, about 12T. It's just in the bag and then your caddy hates you.
If you have like a small cooler, take it to Bandon.
Take it to Bandon. Take a little cooler to Bandon. That's a great tip. All right, look, final hole, and then we'll get to some questions. You know what, Joel? I've told this story a couple times. I would like you to walk me through my story, if you will.
Okay. Well, to get the full extent of the way I experienced Shane's best shot of the trip was the fact that this is the last hole. My body is totally shut down. And we are into the absolute teeth of the wind. And Shane and I both hit drives that really should have been fine.
They were good drives. You know,
they were good drives. And they are a foot into the crap. Like just nasty, nasty, nasty. Shane's lie was terrible. It was in a divot. His caddy tried to tell him there was a local rule about divots. Shane didn't buy it. So kudos to you on that.
He goes, you can move that if you want. It's a local rule. I go, Ethan, man, it's in a divot. What are you talking about? I mean, we're playing. We have it now, just so you know, I won 16 with a par, the par five. I won 17 with a par with maybe making about probably one of my best pars of my entire life. And we are, mind you, Brady wins every match he plays right now. So we're just trying to get in his pocket once on this trip is all we're trying to
and
do.
And not even get in his pocket. We really need to win to push.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Just try to win and get a couple bucks
we're
back.
We're grinding a little bit. Ethan's like, you know, local rule, you can move the ball. You laugh at him. I'm rolling my eyes. I'm like 5 feet from you. We hit it in the same vicinity. My ball is dead. Just like it's... totally dead. And you hit yours and basically top it into the bunker in front of us. And so I'm like, oh geez, you know, and I'm like, okay, so now I'm trying to career out of the dead, nasty, you know, bird's nest lie, just terrible. And I took the biggest swing I could possibly take and hosel it directly right over the fairway to the right, and it hits like a tree and clanks into another bunker. So I'm slogging over there. My left shin is about to explode, and I never saw you hit your bunker shot. I'm just like walking over there with Craig, who's trying to give me a pep talk, my caddy, and he's like, you can still make a five. You can still hit. I'm like, hey, man, five ain't going to cut it, Craig. I'm done.
Well,
you know,
we're playing Brady, who, again, we talk about Brady. He's a doctor. He doesn't play golf. He lives in Omaha. And he's striping it the whole trip, gets a shot on 18, drives right down the middle of the fairway. So Klatt is in another bunker in two, hitting his third shot on a par four.
You're in a bunker in two.
I am plugged. Like, I am minimally plugged.
Dead.
We're done. We're screwed.
I go over there, don't see Shane hit his shot. I tried to hit this shot from a bunker, and it was like up against the face. And I hit it, and I look up to try to look at it and just get a face full of sand, right? Just blowing back in my face. It's in my teeth. I'm grinding it. I'm like, this sucks. Like, let's just go home. Let's go to Eugene. And I kind of look up and I see you like lining up, and I'm like just strolling up to the green at this point. And I don't know what you're putting for. I'm assuming it's for a par, and I'm just kind of walking, and I'm walking along. And I mean, it's 90 feet, right? And none of us have putted well at all trip. Like, we haven't made anything except for Brady. And you hit this putt, and it looked like you hit a 100-yard putt. Like, full shoulder turn, bam, into the wind, up the hill. And it's going, and it's going, and it's going. And someone at one point was like, get up there. And you were like, yeah, it's up there. And then it's like, oh, you know, and someone's like, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, good speed. And then someone's like, oh man, this is a good line. And then as it gets a little bit closer, I'm kind of walking and walking, and I just start to go, and then bam, it hits the pin, it goes in, and we all just explode.
Go
I run
nuts.
Over as if you're Justin Leonard in the 99 Ryder Cup, and I'm high-fiving you around. Good God, we didn't have those ugly shirts on, but that's about how we were running around. And just like homeboy needed to putt, who was it in 99? We're running around. Craig, my caddy's running around with his big old feet. He's stomping on the line, high-fiving everybody, COVID everywhere. Oh, man, it was amazing.
I make the putt for par. Brady has a putt 3 for 2, 3 putts. And mind you, Brady's about 5 feet in front of me, so he's probably got 85 feet. And now you're thinking, we've got a good chance to tie this hole, which would have won us the last match of the trip. And Brady hits a fantastic putt to like 6 feet. And, you know, I mean, given the circumstances and how long the putt was, almost as good as you could do. I mean, outside of what I just done and maybe the only time of the trip Brady missed a putt that mattered. So that was how we ended the trip. And then, of course, we got the drive to Eugene. That was a 2-hour drive. And you mentioned the sand on you. Like you and I about 4 times on the drive go, I got just found some sand in my ear, and you were found on your neck and your arm. I mean, it was everywhere. Yeah. It was everywhere.
It was everywhere. Oh man. But it was quite a way to end the trip. And it was your best putt. I think that you made, like, if that putt was 90 feet, I think on the week you probably made like 97 feet of putts.
I mean, I think that's being generous, so I'll take it, because I feel like that, I'm like, you're being nice to me to say that. I want to get to some questions, and I want to start with this one. It is a big question, Clap, and I did all the prep for it, because I'm not going to make you do this. I need your help on a couple, and other than that, I just want to get your thoughts as we roll through this. Scott Ford asked me on Twitter. He said, take all 5 golf courses outside of the preserve not included here. Build your favorite Bandon composite 18-hole golf course. Now, I found out from this question that you can do this online. The website's dreamgolfresorts.com/dream18contest. And this includes holes from Cabot, and I believe holes from Sand Valley as well. But it was very helpful doing this, because it doesn't have Sheep Ranch in there yet, but I was able to go through, you know, the 4 holes from the other golf courses and then think about Sheep. We already mentioned the first hole. Obviously going to be Sheep Ranch, the par 5, 549 from the backs. Great hole. We've talked about it. Number 2, a lot of par 3s, second hole on property there. I went with Bandon Dunes, Clad. I love the Bandon Dunes par 3. I think it's got a lot of character up by the green. It's 190 yards from the backs. Bandon Dunes was my hole number 2.
I would go Trails. I thought that I'd love that downhill par 3, that whole waste bunker on the right. Feels like you can make a hole in one. But we didn't.
Did not. It's just so hard. I just feel like that hole is so hard. I can make 5 on Trails 2. I don't feel like I can make 5 on Bandon 2. But fair. I think that was the one that was in the argument. Number 3, I went with Old Mac. It's a tricky little par 4, but it's got the ghost tree there. It's the iconic hole, really, in terms of everybody taking their photo. Plus, you know, given the right wind, you can drive the green. It's only 375, and most of that's downhill. So I went with Old Mac number 3.
I really love Bandon number 3, that par 5. I think that's a really great hole. I know it's wide open, it's generous, but the green complex, everything, I really love Bandon number 3.
So number 4, there's a couple that are really hard, dude. And number 4 is hard. I mean, you get Bandon number 4, which they have a plaque right by the tee. It says, you know, this is one of the top 500 golf holes ranked in the world. And you got to battle that up against Pacific number 4. I went Pacific 4. I think it's the best hole on Pacific Dunes.
That one's really tough, because it's Pacific 4. It's Pacific 4. As good as Bandon 4 is, Pacific 4 is just incredible.
Now, what's interesting is you get all these ones. It's funny. It's actually fun to do this. If you've never done this, do it. Trust me, it'll take up an hour of your time, and you'll have internal debates and feel like a weirdo. And so you'll kind of feel like me all the time. Number 5, the 5th hole on properties are all okay. No number 5 blows you away. I went with number 5 at Bandon Dunes, the one that, you know, you can kind of hit driver up there if you want. You can hit iron if it's downwind like it was for us both time we played it. Par 4, 428, it's got a cool kind of green and a little shoot up by the front of the green there. I just think of the options there, I love the Bannon the most.
I like Old Max.
Number 5 at Old Mac, the par 3, huh?
Yep.
It's a great green. It's a really great green on Old Mac.
I love the green because the green becomes so small. It's a giant green that is really like 4 greens, right? And it's not a terribly hard shot. I know, listen, you're like, what are you talking about? I really like that. The two bottom holes, hole locations, you know, like you can make a 2 there because of all the backstops to get it back up top is really difficult. I like that hole a lot. The elevated tee.
It's a great par 3 and it really kind of starts the stretch. You know, you play 3, as we mentioned, the Ghost Tree hole. 4 is this basically impossible par 4, especially when it's into that south wind. I mean, it's like a 550 yard par 4 from the backs. But terrible. You get to 5 and you go 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 right there on Old Mac. And to me, that's kind of the stretch of holes. Number 6, we already mentioned this. I went with Sheep Ranch. That's that par 4 you mentioned over the cliff. I feel like it just edges out Pac's 6th hole, which is that short drivable par 4 where you hit it in the blowout bunker, then maybe hit your best shot of the trip.
That was undoubtedly my best shot of the trip on Pac 6. But Sheep Ranch 6, I think when it's all said and done, when the dust settles, that might become the best hole on property.
It's going to be behind, in my opinion, and I couldn't agree with you more. My opinion is outside of 16 Abandoned Dunes, I think it's going to be the second most photographed, most posted, most videoed shot that's out there. I actually, when we were there in September with a group of buddies of mine, we played 9 holes on Sheep Ranch. I took a video of that tee shot, and it was one of those that a lot of the golf websites aggregated. You know, look at Sheep Ranch, look how cool this hole is. I mean, that's how kind of blown away you are when you step on that tee. I go back-to-back 7 and 8 Old Mac. Am I crazy, Clat? 7's up the hill par 4, and 8 is the Biarritz par 3.
I like the par 3. The par 4 is okay. Let's see, 7. I think I love Trail 7. Isn't that?
So 7 Trails is in the conversation. It's that long par 4. It's where we hit those drives we talked about over by the cottages. It's that long par 4 that kind of goes up the hill.
That's
the
it. Green it goes is up the hill. That's,
huge false front.
Like.
It was the one that I had in here next to Old Mac. My reason that I feel like 7 at Old Mac is the one on my list is because I kind of think it's their iconic hole in that golf course. I think it's the hole.
It is. You're right. It is, but I think that 7 at Trails is a better hole, but I'm with you on the 8 at Old Mac. And by the way, like, we hit really good shots, and it always helps if you play the hole well. You're like, oh, I love that
right, exactly.
We played 8 at Old Mac really well.
So I haven't mentioned a Trails hole yet, and people say, wait, I thought it was your favorite course. Just wait, because they're coming in a flurry here. Number 9 at Trails, easily. Par 5, 567. I mean, it's my happy place. Starting on 9 there, I love Trails par 5.
Yeah, 9, Bandon is really good, but Trails is incredible.
Number 10, I went with Pacific. You know, it's the start of those back-to-back par 3s. I think the 11th is maybe a prettier par 3. I like 10. I love the 2 tees you can play from the upper and lower. The green can be tough. If the pin's up front, it's fairly easy. If the pin's back, it's a little bit tougher. You get a look out over the ocean. I just feel like of the options of number 10s, Pacific was the best available.
Trails.
Okay. I mean, I just, the only thing is the 10th tee shot is kind of whatever. I mean, the green's fun and the bunkers are fun, but I feel like that Pacific par 3, you got to throw one of the 2 in. And I went with Trails 11 as my 11th hole. That's the par 4 that's just one of the best holes you'll ever play. One of the most fun tee shots you'll ever play. And then you walk down by that lake. It's as good as it gets. Again, this is right in my happy place right here on number 11.
I'm Trails again. Like, it's really tough on that. And listen, 11's interesting because 11, you do, like, I love the par 3 on Pacific, the 11th hole.
Right.
But this stretch on Trails is so good. And the 11th hole on Trails is just better.
So I have right after, again, there's some of these, what's fun about this is some of the holes have three you want to battle through, and some have not really any that really blow you away. 11's one that has some unbelievable holes. You know, Sheep Ranch, I mentioned earlier, the par five there, it's not on the ocean, but it's a great par five. Definitely in the conversation. Yep. And as you said, Pacific 11 as well. 12, I went with Bandon Dunes, the par three. I think it's one of the best par threes on property.
Yeah, I think that's one of those where I wish I could borrow like an 11th hole from somewhere else and put it on 12, because I don't like the collection of 12 holes isn't great. So yeah, I kind of default to, you know, I love 12 at Sheep Ranch, even though it's fairly nondescript, because with the wind direction that we played, going driver, two iron, sand wedge,
it was just tough,
four,
right?
Was just kind of fun, you know what I mean? So I guess I'll go there. I'll go Sheep Ranch.
13, I went with Pacific. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's on the ocean. It's one of their signature holes. I think that's of all the available, it's probably the best. I guess you could make an argument for the Bandon par five.
I like the Bandon par five. I really do, except for that lake down there. The jet skis drove me nuts. Inside joke. Sorry about that. Inside
who
humor.
Who said it
terrible
first? Was it
media.
Andrew? Did Andrew say
Andrew
that first?
Andrew said like, oh, did that go in the lake when he hit his tee shot? And we're like, what?
It's like an environmental
lake?
Friendly what? Area.
What are you talking about lake? And he pulls out his yardage book and he says, look, it says right here.
It's the only
this
lake.
Is the only water hazard in on Bandon Dunes. And we're like, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So we were joking
that there were jet skis and fishing down there that you could rent.
Take a dip.
Little inside joke that you got in on there. But 11, I'm sorry, this is 13, right?
Right.
I like Trails 13. You play that par three, and then you play that par four that we hit kind of good drives on, and then you get that green with that enormous false left side.
13 at Bandon Trails is great. This is a hard one for me because I want to put Trails in here, but I know I feel like the answer is Pacific. Hey, on 14, listen, I'm controversial. I went Trails 14. I feel like you can't leave it off. The drivable par four, people love it or hate it.
Yeah, I really like Bandon's 14th hole because that's with the right wind direction and people are going to roll their eyes. That's a drivable par four. And I think it's a really great par four. So I'm going Bandon.
It's drivable with the wind behind you. And then it's a really hard tee shot when the wind's in your face because there's so many bunkers up there. I agree with you that design's a lot of fun. 15, I went Sheep Ranch, the par four, short par four. You and I made a mess of it every time we played it, and it should be fairly easy, but you got the backdrop of the ocean right there, and it's kind of the start of that final run of Sheep Ranch where you're kind of all the way on the ocean until you get off 18T, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I thought Sheep Ranch's 15th hole is really, really good.
Do we have to do 16? I mean, is this really a thing we have to talk about?
I mean,
we just skip over it?
It's Bandon, but I got to tell you, Sheep Ranch gives you a huge run for your money there.
Yeah, it's fair. Par three, it's kind of if you've ever played Sheep Ranch before it became Sheep Ranch, it was the green you kept playing to, the one right there on the ocean. It's a double green with three. Sheep Ranch 16 is great, but come on, it's Bandon Dunes. There's no doubt about it.
It's Bandon Dunes.
Here's
yeah.
the one I had a hard time with. This is the only one I don't have an answer for, Clad. I need you to decide. 17. I said it's between Old Max par 5 and the par 3 on Trails. What'd you have for 17?
I'll go Old Mac.
Okay.
I like both of those. I like both of those. And I think that par 3 on Trails might be the best par three on big course property outside of maybe 16 at Sheep, but that par five is such a good hole because there's a risk reward in your line off the tee, and then even if you get that risk down the right side, you've got to avoid a bunker, and that's what opens up the green. And if you're where I was, you took the safe line off the tee, I'm in the fairway, and yet I've got to carry that cross bunker and then land on a downslope and try to hold the grip. Like, I just thought that the strategic, that was as strategic a par five as I've played in a long time. And I loved that hole. I really loved it. But 17 at Trails is maybe the best par three on the property.
18, I went Bandon. par five finish. You get to go up to the clubhouse. I mean, it's to me, it's between Bannon and Pacific, I feel like.
Yeah, it's definitely between Bannon and Pacific, and I'm going to go Bannon. You know, you got the property line all down the right side. You get the club, you know, the traditional clubhouse. You can make a birdie. I think that's a great hole. Oh man, I love this little. You know what's interesting is you start to realize like the holes you left off, and you're like, oh,
I know.
Man, I can't believe I left that hole off.
I have some listed, and it's a bummer. So the math, and this is so if you're going to Bannon. If you're going to go to Bannon Dunes and you can afford it and you have the time and you're physically able to do this, people ask me all the time what course to leave off. I always say none. You can't leave any off. Play every single one of them. It's hard. It's a hard place to get to. And this is a good example of this. These are my 18. Three from Sheep, five from Bannon Dunes, four from Old Mac. And, you know, Old Mac's the golf course that I feel like people tend to want to leave off their list. Three Pacific, three Trails, and Trails is my favorite golf course. So That's the breakdown of that. I have one I think that's going to really tickle your fancy here, Klatt, because I know you love this.
Okay,
and you're a guy that just I mean I'm the same way. We love logos and we love golf merch. Michael Safro asked to rank the course logos in order, including everything. So this includes Punch Bowl as well. I ask you to do this. I'm assuming you have your rankings. I'll let you run through 1 through 7.
Okay, number one is Preserve.
Same.
That's an incredible logo. Number two is Sheep Ranch.
Same.
I think that's an incredible logo. This is the one that actually grew on me. I used to hate it, and now you've convinced me. I'm going Bannon next.
That's what I have for three.
Then for four, I'm going Old Mac, and that's quickly rising up because they've gone Ghost Tree on a lot of their merch, which is incredible, right? Like, just putting that tree as your logo is phenomenal. And even their OM is really good. It's hard for me with the others, right? Like, I just don't think Pacific's logo is that great. I'm like really hard on Pacific, don't I? And Punch Bowl is just a putting green. So like, you know, that's kind of where it lies. I think that Trails would be just ahead of those two.
Okay, I have the same four as you: Preserve, Sheep, Bannon, Mac, and I'm just like you. I love the OM and I love the tree as kind of a secondary logo. I know that Sheep Ranch has some ideas with some secondary logos. They're going to be equally as fantastic as the Ghost Tree. I went Punch Bowl, Trails, Pacific. I went Pacific last as well on the logo. It's just not my favorite. I just, you know, it's just not one that pops for me. All the other ones do. I have a question from you, from Grant, maybe my favorite question anybody sent in. And you're going to perk up when you hear this. This is from Grant. If Bannon was a college football program, which one would it be?
Oh, gosh, I love this question.
Great question.
There's so many different ways I could go with this. Bannon Dunes is Clemson.
Okay, explain why.
And here's why. And Clemson fans are going to get all bent out of shape about this, but I think that if you wanted to just do the blue blood, always been great, you're going to go try to play National Golf Links, Shinnecock, you know, like
Pebble, right? I mean, Pebble would be the number one.
Pebble,
yeah.
Like these are the tried and true 18 national championships, you know, in their history, several Heisman Trophy winners, the history, the tradition, all that stuff. Clemson doesn't necessarily have that, but they are the blue blood of the modern day. And to me, like, this is a trip you have to take. I think that this trip is the national champion of golf trips currently. Like, I don't think that there's a better golf trip you can take. And so right now I'm going to go with Clemson.
I like it. I think that's good. I think that's
even with LSU winning, and I know that they just won, but you know what I mean? Like, Clemson is like the program right now that has like this modern acclaim. It's good every year. It's consistent. So Bannon Dunes trip is like the Clemson Tiger.
So is Dabo like Kaiser here? Is it just this new mind that comes in and basically remolds a program to be one of the best in the world?
Yes, yes. And Bandon Dunes of the course is like Deshaun Watson. Put him on the map.
All right. Lenny the Duck asked two good questions. Lenny the Duck, favorite hole on each course is the first one. I'll run through mine and then I'll let you do yours. Favorite hole on each course. Bandon Dunes, I went with 16. Feel like that one's pretty easy. Pacific, I went with 4. Old Mac is the par 5 17th we talked a little bit about. Trails is 9 for me. Sheep Ranch is that par 3 16th. And then Preserve, I wrote, it has to be either number 6 or number 9. I'm right on the fence between both of them. But with just 13 holes, that's what I'm going to go with. So that's my list. What's yours?
Sheep Ranch, it's number 1. At Bandon Dunes, it's number 16. At Pacific, it's number 4. I just left Sheep Ranch 6 off. Damn it. But number 1 is...
You can go with number 1. Right, you fine. Love that hole.
I do. I do. And it sets the tone. It's the tone setter. Okay, so I'm going to stay there. On trails, I'm with you on 9. 9 is like 9 is phenomenal. On Preserve, which is the one that's all the way down on the bottom?
Yeah, I think that's 6.
That's 6. Then that's my favorite of that course.
Yeah, I think it's 5 or 6. If we're wrong, we apologize. I don't have the scorecard right in front of me, but I know which one you're talking about. It's lovely.
For me is 6, that par 5.
Okay, that's a good list. We had some of the same and a little bit different. His next question, Lenny the Duck asked, is it wrong to eat McKee's Pub meatloaf, grandma's meatloaf, 4 days in a row? I mean, don't do that. That doesn't sound like a great idea. I would say you want to change it up. No, I wouldn't do that.
I would change it up. My memory is so bad. I have a hard time remembering which holes were which, and then I have a hard time remembering where I actually ate said meal. I had a burger. I believe it was at McKee's the second night we went.
No,
there.
That was the Tufted Puffin. That was where we went in there, and it was the that was in the lodge, I think, when you had the burger that you said was absolutely out of this world.
There you go. And then we got like ice cream something, and that was phenomenal. The Steve Prefontaine dessert, I believe, is what it was called.
So good. It was unreal. So I would say the meatloaf is the thing people talk about. I haven't ordered it in a couple of trips. Personally, I like meatloaf. I get burgers a lot there. I get steaks there. I got fish one night. I would say if you want to change it up at the actual pub, get the pizza. Their pizzas are great. They're exactly what
the
you want.
The pizza was really good.
I mean, you walk like 10 miles a day or 12 miles a day. Like, you deserve a pizza at the end of the round. So a lot of food questions. I feel like food questions are hard for us to answer. I mean, it's food. What do you want to eat, man? Every day is different.
Yeah, it's your personal taste. And here's, you guys had a grilled cheese for lunch at the lodge that looked amazing. Oh. I would suggest that for people like doing turn or getting lunch. The coffee shop at Sheep Ranch was really good. The coffee up there was actually really good. So I would suggest that. You guys like the breakfast sandwiches at Old Mac.
Best breakfast sandwich on property. That.
And then if you are going to go to dinner, you're going to be really tired and really hungry. Before your butt hits the seat, tell them to bring you a pizza for the table. That's like, just bam. Just bring
appetizer
out a pizza.
100%. That's the, like, Cindy and I do this. Do you guys do this where occasionally we'll go to breakfast and we both order an adult breakfast meal, that being, you know, like an egg or an omelet, but we'll get the sharing waffle or sharing French toast just to, and that's out of this world, next level calories that make a Saturday or Sunday breakfast that much better.
My favorite is that I just order that for my kids. And then when they don't eat it all, I then get to eat it.
See, I'm not there yet. I mean, you know, Henry's not, we're not to the point where Henry's old enough to where he's, you know, ordering those food items, but I cannot wait for that. I can't wait to gain like 25 pounds eating all the food that he doesn't want to eat or that I overorder for him. Seth asked, if I'm a college student, should I wait until I can experience the entire property, or is it acceptable to go for just a couple of courses and hope to come back again? Clad, I'll let you take it.
Go for whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go. Like, don't make it like it has to be extravagant. It has to be like going to Scotland or something. No. If you can make it, go.
Totally agree. It's exactly what I was going to say. No, there is no shame if it's, you know, if again, as I said, if you can afford it and you can get there and you can stay for 4 days and, you know, you're not leaving your wife high and dry, to me, then go play every golf course and don't leave any out. But if you're tight on a budget, go play two golf courses. I mean, you'll love it. And then it'll make That's you right. want to come back. And it might even make you motivated to work a little harder so you can go back. I mean, at least that's right. what I would see, because it's such an awesome place. We haven't really touched on this yet. Clay was asking, he's going there in September. He just said, what does he need to know about a Bannon trip during COVID? And I would say I thought they handled it unbelievably well. I mean, the tables, I would say one thing is make sure you reserve, you put in your dinner reservations early, because they don't have nearly as many tables. And again, we went in July, so, or in June, so this could be totally different by the time we get to September. But that's the one thing I would say, is make sure you put in reservations for dinner weeks in advance, because there's just not as many tables available at the dinner spots. But I thought all in all, Bannon did a great job of kind of keeping you away from people and spacing the tables, and you never felt uncomfortable.
I completely agree, and I would say, if it's worrisome to you, be really open and honest and clear in your communication to your caddy. I'd say that one. And if it's really worrisome to you, just hoof your own bag, you know, just pull your own cart. And I know the caddies won't want to hear that, but they would accommodate you regardless. Like if you said, listen, I don't want you to touch my clubs, they would do that. They would just carry your bag and set it down next to you, and you can pull your own bag. So setting that guideline for you and the caddy, I think, would be really important, and in a way that you could still use a caddy and yet still feel comfortable out there if it's something that really concerns you.
Patrick Scott asked, Patrick Scott, it's a couple of two first names, Patrick Scott, 16 golfers from South Carolina headed out there in August. Handicaps go from +2 to +20. And he said, should we just stick to the green tees? I know you're now, I need you to answer this question, not like Patrick Scott. I need you to, or sorry, not like Joel Klatt. I need you to answer this question like Patrick Scott's asking. Because you're going to say play the backs.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that it's too long. Like even, you know, like Brady and Andrew, when we were heading out there, they were like, yeah, you know, it might be too long. Unless wind is an absolute issue, like I think playing back is fine. Now, if it gets really windy, I think that you could play greens, but just know that, for instance, we tried to adjust on the last four holes of our trip at Trails. It's blowing 30 into our face, and we're like, hey guys, we're all tired. Like, let's just play the green tees on the last four holes. And into the wind, every tee shot I hit ended up being in the crap by a yard.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I hit those. Let's say I make the exact same golf swing. I'm in the middle of the fairway. If we just were playing the tees that we were normally playing, because it just went through on the line that is kind of there in front of you. So I think, you know, play it by ear, but don't be afraid to go back, because I didn't think that it was overly long.
I would say play the greens at Pacific for sure. If you're not a bomber, I would say greens are fine at Pacific, because I do think Pacific is the toughest driving golf course there. Maybe Trails because of the trees, but you know, Pacific and Trails, maybe play one up. I would say first round for anybody going, if you've got a whole bunch of guys and the handicaps are all over the place, I would say play the first round from the greens and then see how everybody felt. So if the +2 that's on this trip, Patrick,
smart,
wants to scoot back, then you can scoot back on the next round. And if you're enjoying the greens, and play the greens. I mean, again, what I feel like people, and you and I have to do this sometimes, you have to remember that this is supposed to be a vacation. It's supposed to be enjoyable. You're supposed to be having fun. If you're playing and it's blowing 20 and you're playing the blacks at Pacific, it's going to be a tough day. I mean, you're going to have a tough day on a golf course, because it's supposed to be tough from the backs in those types of conditions.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And again, I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm a kind of a golf enthusiast, to put it mildly. So
you want to play, you want to, you want, I knew you were going to say play the backs. Last one. Emil asked, to list our favorite par 3, par 4, par 5 on property. I thought this was a good question. I don't think I told you to prep for this, so if you need a second, I can go, but if you're ready, I'll let you roll.
I'll go. I like the sixth hole in the Preserve is my favorite par 3, but if it has to be on course, I'll go 17 at Trails.
Okay.
Followed very closely by 16 at Sheep. Those are my three favorite. Okay, so there. My favorite par 4 is probably 11 at Sheep, That's just such an ordinary hole. It's really 6 sheep, 4 Pacific.
Okay.
One of those two. And my favorite par five is 9 at Trails.
Okay, so I have 9 at Trails as my favorite par five. I think you and I have established that's one of our favorite holes in the world. Favorite par three, Pacific 11. And I went with the OG, Bannon Dunes 16. You know what I love? You and I discussed this a decent amount on the trip. Is I feel like Bannon Dunes, the golf course, is one of those that people kind of forgot about. You know, Pacific opens and it's unreal. Then you get Trails. Then you get Old Mac. Now you have Sheep Ranch. You have the Preserve. The golf course that's been there from the start is just sitting there. It is, in my opinion, easily the best back nine on property. I think it has some of the best holes on property. And I feel like it's making a little bit of a comeback in people's interest of golf courses at Bandon, because for a while it was the one that people were like, ah, it's good, it's great, it's fun. But they weren't talking about how lovely of a golf course it is.
I will tell you this, that I am a huge fan of courses that are not easy, just playable. And I think that Bandon Dunes is imminently playable.
Yep.
And, you know, you don't have to be striping it. Like, to really play well at Pacific or even like Old Mac, you got to be hitting the ball really well, right? And even Trails to some extent. You've got to hit really good shots. And again, I'm not trying to trivialize Bandon and say, oh, you don't have to hit good shots. But I'm just saying it's playable. There are options. There are lots of options. If you're not hitting it well, you can still score. If you are hitting it well, you might not score, you know? So it's not that it's easy. It's just that it's playable. And because of that, I think that it's the most fun course there that you can go play. Like I thought those two rounds were the most fun that I had on the trip outside of Preserve.
Yeah. And going into a last question, I said last one, but I've got one more just because I think you and I would both say the same thing here. Brian said best hang spot for day one. We have Preserve scheduled and nothing else on arrival. I mean, don't leave the Preserve. Honestly, just keep playing it. They have a bar there on the golf course. I mean, they've got a little halfway house so you can stop and get drinks. You don't have to have a whole bunch of golf clubs. Bring a Bluetooth speaker. You know, I mean, that to me, I feel like if you are going to combine, and again, I mean, you and I weren't drinking on this trip, so we're not in that world of the kind of the party golf. We're just out there playing and enjoying it. I would say that Preserve is the most fun you can have if you combine everything. So if you want to booze, it's a great place to booze. If you want to smoke a cigar, great place for a cigar. You get to play golf. You can play 12. As long as you're not holding anybody up, play as many as you want. I will say, you have to hit putter on the last hole, though. I don't know if I've said that on this podcast yet. As long as the pin's not back right, everybody has to hit putter on the 13th tee. And that's just part of Preserve. That's part of what you got to do.
I could not agree more. Go to the Preserve and just enjoy it. You're not trying to score. You can play wolf. You can smoke a cigar. You can drink if you want to. You can listen to music. Just enjoy it. Look around. When you get to let's 6, 7, I guess that's the 9th tee at Preserve.
Oh,
I looked out and remember, I kind of looked at you and I was like, this might be like the best spot on property. You can see all of Bandon. You can see the Preserve. Like you see this entire view, like just take a moment. You're hitting back at the ocean, to this unbelievable green. Like it's, and you just take it in and you're like, okay, like this is really, really special.
If you are struggling with your golf game, if you are struggling with life, if you are having a bad day, if you are having a bad month or a bad year, for me, and it's going to be different with everybody, but I just feel like when I'm on Bannon Preserve, you know, you go on a trip, go on a golf trip, I just feel like when I'm there, life feels a little less stressful. And I mean, that's a compliment to a golf course, is if you're on a golf course and it's helping you outside of golf, that's a benefit, you know? And I just, every time I play the Preserve, I'm like, why did we not schedule this more on our trip? We should have played this 4 times.
The first thing I did when I got home is I wrote a letter to the committee of the club I play at. And I was like, hey, do we have any plans for a short course?
you're going to bring all the Bannon ideals to your golf course. They're going to be like, God, this clat guy's emailing us again.
That's right. I'm like, listen, even if it's three holes, I'll take
yeah,
it.
No, I mean, and that's all you need. We talked about it. You need three for a short course is really the start. And outside of that, it's all just a bonus. Clad, I appreciate this. I know I took up a good portion of your Wednesday, but thanks for jumping on. It was an unbelievable trip. One of my favorite I've ever been on to Bannon. And as I always say, the best compliment I can give Bannon Dunes is the moment I leave, I'm just thinking about when I can return. And I'm not sure there's a better way to put how much fun and the passion and the love I have for that place. Because to me, in terms of a golf resort, a place you can go, old, young, booze, no booze, maybe you do some illegal substances, whatever you want to do, to me, it is absolutely the perfect golf place, in my opinion.
Well, shoot, in Oregon, I don't even know if those are illegal substances. So,
that's right, they're legal substances, that's right.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the people up there are phenomenal. And everybody up there that helped us out, first of all, thank you. Second of all, I'm the same way. I'm thinking about the next time that I can get there. If you enjoy golf, you don't even have to love golf. If you enjoy golf, it is a must. Not like, oh, I'm going to try. You've got to go. It'll change your relationship with golf. It'll change your entire outlook on life to some extent, because it's just an amazing place. It's so peaceful. So beautiful. You're going to absolutely love it.
That's Joel Klatt. You can watch him call college football games, and he's really, really good at it. And he's good at golf too. He's annoyingly good at everything. And that includes his best skill, which is something he did earlier today, which is ride the Peloton. But that'll be for another podcast. Klatt, I can't wait to see you back on TV. I can't wait to see you back in some form with golf and Fox. I know it's going to be a different type of schedule, but I'm hoping to see you on the road as well. You did such a great job last year.
For sure, man. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
A big thanks to Joel. Big thanks to Bannon Dunes for having us. And a big thanks to you for listening. This was a long episode, but hopefully one you enjoyed, and hopefully one that's helpful if you're headed out that way. And it's going to be something I'm going to do a little bit more. When I go places and get a chance to experience a new place, or you know, one that gets asked about a lot, I'm going to try to have a podcast to where it's evergreen. You know, if you listen to it 4 months from now, or 6 months from now, or 2 years from now, hopefully it's helpful if you are planning a trip to the Bannon Dunes or the Northeast or Cabot or places like that that golfers want to go check out. So hopefully this is helpful. Like I said, any questions you have, reach out to me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Shane Bacon. I try to answer as many as I can. I try not to leave anybody out there high and dry. If you've got a question, if you ever have any caddy questions for Bannon, let me know. I'll point you in the direction of some people I've had that have been great. You guys have a great weekend. I will check back next week. The Clubhouse with Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.